Hey, everybody, you are listening to episode 143 of the podcast for Wednesday, September 14th, 2011, Wonder Brawl. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Forest Podcast. I am Mike Evans.
I'm Kenneth Love.
And we are your daily tech design and development cactus, or cacti.
Cactuses.
Dude, before we start, I got to tell you, the trials and tribulations that people know I've been going through. Monday, I get a new washing machine. Aren't you so happy for me?
Wow. So the one that your mom sabotaged, you just finally got rid of?
Yep. Well, I went and bought a new one at Home Depot, and they're going to be delivering it and installing it on Monday. Hopefully not at 3 o'clock.
You know she just washed, like, some ball bearings in it or something. Right?
just some marbles, some jacks.
Yeah, she's like, I'll show you, Mike.
It's full of slammers and pogs.
Man, that'd be sad, because that's probably worth some money now.
Like, yeah, I don't know if you can still buy those. Dude, there's like got to be like 13 people someplace worldwide who are like still fucking seriously into pogs.
Look what I got.
Warheads? Oh my god, I haven't had warheads in years.
I'll have one. Which one should I have?
I bought some Lucky Charms a little bit ago and I was like, yes.
I'll have one of them. Yeah, no, I know. Like my kid bought a bag of Lucky Charms the other day. He wanted some and I was like, I'll help you eat those. You worry about that.
I love that little leprechaun man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm eating some chipotle cranberry cheese. It's kind of tasty and smoky. But
all right,
should we talk about iframe plus polling equals cookie fight?
We should. So yeah. So the problem is they've got this thing. They're using Ajax polling, all right, and then they've got like an iframe.
I got it. Don't worry about it. Keep going. I fixed it.
So.
You suck so bad.
So, they've got the iframe and they got Ajax. So, what happens, the problem that happens, is they end up getting, like, two cookies hanging out.
Just right? Chilling.
Iframe sends a request with cookie A, which is a sign up, right?
Right.
Ajax sends a request with cookie A. They both send the same cookie. Cookie hits. Iframe gets a response with a set cookie, which is now cookie B, right? And then Ajax gets a response with cookie A because it sends back set cookie where the header is the session that was accessed. So now they get like these two cookies hanging out. That's not good.
No.
So they came up with a little way of doing it. They have a thing here. They have a session disabler mix-in for controllers. This is a Ruby on Rails thing. And you invoke it as a filter. So basically, I guess what that does is it stops it from sending back these two cookies. You just have one cookie hanging around.
But why are they doing this? Fuck all knows.
Why?
Yes.
Well, they're probably using the iframe to make it a little faster to do cross-domain, or a little easier to do like cross-domain queries, things like that.
It looks like they're doing something involving fantasy football.
Right. So they may be hitting different domains. They may be hitting different, you know, whatever. And it looks like they're also popping up an iframe with the existing sign-up page, so you don't have to leave the game to sign up.
Right, right.
So, and they're using Ajax for polling, so like that to find out like who picked what, and blah, 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 blah. Right?
Blah, right? Blah, blah.
You got it? You understand?
Yes.
It's just like blah, blah, blah.
That's what I was trying, that's why there was a pause, because I was trying to remember exactly how that went.
Mm-hmm.
Next, I mean, that's interesting.
It is. Next is Deck.js.
But we got some far more awesome stuff coming up.
We've got all sorts of far more awesome stuff. So Deck.js, we've seen stuff like this before. We saw, what was it, S5?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen tons of these.
Yeah, you've seen, but this one is, like, really fucking slick. Like, really nice.
Are you going to use this for your next lightning talk? No, you don't get slides for a lightning talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get slides.
Oh, okay. I thought lightning talks were just, like, impromptu, like, hey, get up there and say something.
Well, they are, but if you've got slides available, then you get slides.
I dig it.
At least I got to use slides at DjangoCon, so I'm going to assume everybody gets to use slides. But I like Deck.js. I'm going to fucking use Deck.js.
No, Kenneth, don't you understand? You get to use slides. You know why? Because you're Mitch fucking Hedberg. That's why.
Because I'm special?
So, yeah, Deck.js, modern HTML presentations.
Mm-hmm. It looks really nice. I'm sitting here looking around. I'm like, that's pretty fucking slick right there.
Yeah, I'm running the video out to them.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking nice. Yeah. Let's go to the next one. Go on to the next one. It's from Aberrant Space. Is it Aberrant or Aberrant? It's Aberrant, right?
Aberrant. What does Aberrant mean?
Aberrant Space. I don't know. Let's see. Let's highlight it, and then we'll define it.
Uh-oh.
I don't have a define link? I thought there was a define link.
You can get that stuff.
All right, there it is. There it is. No results found.
Ah, it's just fake.
Anyway, this is a letter that the dude or the person behind Aberrant Space received from Y, the Lucky Stiff. The Lucky Stiff, a couple of years ago, before he disappeared. He got the letter back in 2005.
Right.
So Aberrant just started learning Ruby, and he was trying to figure out the path to enlightenment, right? And the email that Y sent back, I thought was a really good bit of writing. It's only four paragraphs, so we're just going to read it. I do not write tests for my code. I do not write very many comments. I change styles very frequently, and most of all, I shun the predominant styles of coding because that would go against the very essence of experimentation. In short, all I do is muck around. So my way of measuring a great programmer is different from some prevailing thought on the subject. I would like to hear what Mats would say about this. You should ask him. Seriously. I admire programmers who take risks. They aren't afraid to write dangerous or crappy code. If you worry too much about being clean and tidy, you can't push the boundaries. I don't think. I also admire programmers who refuse to stick with one idea about the way the world is. These programmers ignore protocol and procedure. I really like some dude named Tang because he embraces all languages and all procedures. There's no wrong way in his world. Anyway, you can say you want to become better. I mean, that's really all you need. You feel driven, so stick with it. I would also start writing short scripts to show people on the web. Little Ruby scripts, or Rails programs, or mousehole scripts to show off. 20 lines here and there, and soon people will be beating you up, and you'll be scrambling to build on top of those scripts and figure out your style and newer innovations, and so on. Until an asteroid, why?
Or until I disappear off the face of the Earth.
Or until I disappear off the face. But maybe there was one tiny little asteroid that hit Y.
just a little baseball-sized one.
Mm-hmm. There's this one little one just right into his house, right through his head.
Sounds like good advice to me.
It does. I mean, and I like the very beginning of it, too, that I don't write tests and I don't write very many comments. So many people getting into programming now, and like one of the first things you end up being told is you need to test.
Dude, wait. I gotta stop. Comments. Have you seen the first comment at the bottom? As someone who maintains Y's code these days, please write some tests. That's hilarious.
And then I like the follow up to that. What he meant is you shouldn't write tests for your own code. Someone else should.
That's great.
But no, I think you should write tests, but I don't think writing tests should be the first thing in your mind.
Yeah, especially not if you're just fucking around.
Right. You should learn how to do what it is you're going to do. You should learn your tools. You should learn to write code.
Right. You can't test for something if you don't know how the fuck you're going to write it. Like,
right. So, yeah, I think it's good advice.
I think it's groovy. I like it. It's nice.
I'm going to get it tattooed like on my body somewhere.
The entire letter?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Time Hub is the next one.
Time Hub's cool.
It's a .net. Time Hub. So basically what Time Hub does is it watches your GitHub commits and pushes, and then will generate an invoice for you based on that.
It's neat.
Huh. If I pushed more code to GitHub as part of my job, I would do this, but
I don't agree with this because I feel that invoices are also fun. I love filling out invoices.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I only do it about, like, I mean, I enter time, like, once or twice a day, and then I fill out invoices once every week or two, so.
Right.
It's really not that big of a deal to
and then you sit back and you drum your fingers with a big smile, like,
mm-hmm.
Pay me.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it seems like it'd be something really fast and really easy for someone who's doing a lot of commits during their day job. I think it's nice and handy.
Yeah, well, like, if you've got, like, a company account, you've got private repos or whatever, and you're always pushing to these things, this would be awesome. Or if you're somehow an open sourcer that gets paid for writing open source. Or a freelancer that gets paid for writing open source, and you're always pushing. And that works, too, right? But, I don't know.
It's just, the problem is, if the rest of the message of the commit goes along with the invoices, you got to stop leaving the generic, like, this fucking sucks bullshit, 2 minutes, 13 hours. Like, Just stuff.
The fuck was that?
I did stuff for 2 hours.
Where'd that fucking bug come from? Those are the best ones. You're like, wait a minute. How'd that bug get in there? I didn't write that. And somebody does a get blame on you, and they're like, yeah, you did, actually.
Right, here, here's the diff.
HTML5 doctor.
Uh-oh, I don't have insurance. I don't know if I can read this.
And this is all about storing data the simple HTML5 way and a few tricks you might not have known. So, I mean, most people now, hopefully, ideally, right, you all know about local storage and session storage.
You might not use them, but you know about them.
Right. Anyway, so it talks about using those. And then there's some gotchas to watch out for, which this was the part that I put in here that I thought was good, is that web storage is only strings.
Right.
All it stores is strings. It's just like Memcache. So if you're wanting to store an object or an array or something like that, you've got to encode it and decode it to and from JSON every single time.
Right.
So if you don't know about that, then you're going to be like, I can just shove this object in there. And then, you know, HTML5 says nope. And then...
There's actually an HTML5 man who just comes to your door and just wags a finger at you.
He just knocks. And when you open the door and he's like, no.
Sorry.
And he just walks away.
We'll be having none of that.
Yeah, he comes over a lot.
He hands you back your array. Take this.
Yeah, he's like, here, have an array. Oh, somebody wants us to pause the podcast. Nope, not going to happen. Fuck you.
hey, Acty, pause the play. I gotta take a piss. I drank too much liquid.
Hey, Acty, rewind the play about 5 minutes.
Stream bean.
Nobody knows what the fuck we're talking about.
No.
Anyway, though, I thought the gotcha was a good thing to have in there. If you don't know about doing local storage, go read this, because it'll teach you how to do local storage, and then you'll be like, I don't ever need databases again!
Never! My data does not need to persist.
You do. You really, really do. But you're going to think you don't.
You're going to load up your 180,000 objects.
105,000 queries. 105,000. And he probably wasn't using 105,000 items. He just needed, like, the name off of something.
Right.
So he had to
I need the name of this this category, or, you know, the ISBN of
so
this.
So then it
book.
Has to go hit that category just to get the name. Oh, man. 105 fucking
That's
queries.
Impressive.
105,000 queries. That is really, really, really impressive. that it stayed up and didn't just die and melt into a ball of goo that's pretty impressive.
This next one. All
right. Recurly.
Oh,
this
I'm so
just Recurly. This
jacked.
Is just Recurly. This is Recurly JS.
I'm so jacked for this.
So, well, tell us about it then.
All right, this is, like, if you've used Recurly or some other type of billing thing, one of the most annoying things is actually getting, like, the whole workflow down of doing your checkouts, getting the forms looking nice, you know, having the Visa stuff in there, and just making sure you've got all of the correct fields and stuff, and that's what this is. This is, like, a bootstrap or whatever for doing the update for a credit card, doing, you know, a new subscription, doing a just
Famous
a single
process.
Buy. Yeah, it does, like, the update for quantity. It does the update to your cart for the total percentage. Everything. Like, this is badass.
Right. It's secure. It's PCI compliant, which is pretty important.
Yep.
It looks really nice.
And you know what? Fucking shit like this and Twitter Bootstrap and all these things come out, and yet there are people still running around wanting to use Muse and saying that stuff is too hard. Like, come on.
The web has almost gotten to the point where it's entirely plug and play.
Right.
Like, it's not quite there. I mean, you have to know, like, which pieces to use and how they go together, right? Every once in a while you need some adapter because the plug is from fucking Switzerland or something, right?
And you need to know which ones are out there. I mean, fuck, we do a show that's 4 days a week with 20 episodes every single week without every single episode without fail. Like, there are so many things.
Oh, yeah, we easily have 20 to 25 links per episode, something like that.
Like, I'm constantly sending,
say, 15 to 25.
Kenneth, right? A message like, hey, do you suggest any of the 13 things we covered for doing HTML 5 audio? Like,
and you want to know what the really scary thing is? I remember like half of them.
this is why you can't you can't read many books, because you just got all this other link information stuffed into your brain.
But I do read a it's fucking horrible.
But no, I'm very excited by this. I'm gonna be fucking playing with this tonight.
I don't know that I'll be using like Recurly. I've got a couple of things I want to monetize. I don't know if I'll be using like Recurly JS or not. But between like Recurly and what's the other one? Stripe.
Right. That's what Zach has been using.
Yeah, there was like a third one that we talked about not so long ago. It's like taking payments now is so much easier than it was a couple of years ago.
Yep.
I mean, a couple of years ago, your only choices were like Authorize.net, which is a pain in the ass to deal with.
Or PayPal Pro.
And a lot of money. Or PayPal, which is an even bigger pain in the ass to deal.
Unless you were a badass and could get into like Braintree. But you had to be doing like $100,000 in like transfers or something.
Yeah, if you got lucky and you could get Braintree, or you could get like, you know, if you knew the right person at your bank, you'd get your bank to handle it for you or something.
And you know what? But all of those were requiring you to still do your own custom subscription stuff too. That's what I like about Recurly is that it has the
built-in. You had to write all sorts of custom code.
Rebilling and all that type of shit.
But now? Fuck, man. It's fucking JavaScript.
And it's got almost like a damn theme roller for this Recurly.js.
It is. It's themeable. Nobody, everybody knows JavaScript, right?
Dude, Recurly, Bootstrap, Rails, just make shit.
It doesn't have to be Rails. Sinatra, Django,
yeah.
Maverick. Like, there's so many little frameworks out there.
Just if you knock your head while hanging a cuckoo clock above your toilet, you can now make your flux capacitor out of all these components in like 3 days.
Exactly. You don't have to have the physics degree. You don't have to go to CERN anymore. You just like fall off the toilet and then, hey, look, I found a website.
Woohoo!
CasualContracting.com.
Another cool one.
This is kind of cool, yeah. So the basic idea of this is that you're a contractor, but you're not like a full-time contractor, or you don't have a huge amount of free bandwidth, right? Bandwidth. I hate that fucking word. You don't have a lot of free time. Let's call it what it is. So you come sign up on Casual Contracting. And so basically what they do there is they find clients that have smaller projects, simpler projects, or projects that can be broken up into multiple time chunks. And then they find contractors that can handle those time chunks. And that's it. That's all they do.
Boom.
But it's a great idea. Because not everybody has, you know, all these hours that they can spend.
Everybody has a project manager.
Yeah. So, this looks like a great idea. I like it.
I agree. Cool. I concur.
Yeah, fuck it. Right? Fuck that shit. Let's move on. Oh, and look, if you click...
If I what?
If you click on developer, sign up here, down at the bottom.
$25.
Yep. No, right below that.
Oh, okay.
What are they using?
I've already clicked off of it. Is it ASPX?
No, it's the Twitter Bootstrap.
Oh, okay.
Because everyone uses the Twitter Bootstrap.
And it's only been out for 3 weeks.
Artectix.com. This is the Art Text Lite jQuery plugin.
Woohoo!
I think it's kind of cool. As far as like jQuery plugins and shitty little effects go, this one's kind of cool.
Yay, whatever.
You add this to Pish Posh, and you won't need a slideshow anymore.
I don't have a slideshow.
No, but you're wanting one.
Nah, I'm going to put our schedule up in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it this morning. It's yellow. Yellow and black. I totally ripped off a Book Apart's like book cover layout.
You're going to put a slideshow on there. You know you will. So basically what this does is it looks like a spotlight's going across the text, or you can have a moving highlight or something like that. You can use any CSS and time intervals that you want. So you can make different effects, stuff like that. It works basically everywhere. So, check it out. If you like it, you know, go for it. It's under MIT, so you can go edit it to your heart's content. The only problem is if your company name contains the word soft, you can't use it.
What?
Apparently. That's the only prohibition is this script cannot be used by any company which name contains word soft.
Mm.
Maybe the fact that it's not a valid, not a complete sentence. Maybe that will make it null and void. All right. Functional CSS tabs revisimated.
Yay. This is a Chris Coyer.
Yes, this is from Chris Coyer. So, you know, CSS tabs have been around a long time, right? People use the hell out of CSS tabs. Or tabs, rather. So the idea of CSS tabs is basically you're able to change which tab is visible using the target pseudoclass selector without having to have any JavaScript.
Yeah, but that doesn't do a state, which is what I think a lot of people don't like about it.
So you refresh and it's still switched?
No, it would not be switched anymore.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, by state, you mean if you refreshed, it would still be switched. And this doesn't do that.
Right.
Right? Well, yeah, it's there, but...
Or if you want to link to a tab or something.
If you were able to make it to where it was using, like, say, forms and using a check on a checkbox, which I think is how he does this. Yeah, he's doing a radio. Then when you refreshed, if you didn't do a hard refresh, that should still be around, shouldn't
it? Oh, wow. That's a hell of a hack.
Shouldn't that work?
I think so.
Yeah. He says it's a bit hacky.
It's hacky as fuck.
It doesn't have the deepest browser support. If you need to go deeper, you should probably use JavaScript. But, you know, it's there and it works. You don't have to deal with JavaScript. It's not like it's really hard to do tabs in JavaScript. Right?
Right.
But, it's kind of a neat idea. But it's a big fucking
hack. It's from Chris Coyer, so...
It's a big fucking hack.
It's acceptable.
It's a big fucking hack. Big fucking
What's
hack.
The Charlock Holmes?
Charlock Holmes is character encoding detection. So, I think we talked about something like this before. But basically what it will do, it's a little Ruby gem. So you just require Charlock Holmes. And then what it will do is it will detect the character encoding of whatever file or string or whatever that you pass into it. So the good thing about this is if you're expecting a string and you get something that's Unicode, your application won't blow up or vice versa.
It won't freak out and be like, hey, what's going on?
If you're expecting Unicode and you get ASCII, it's not going to care because ASCII is part of Unicode. But vice versa, you could potentially go, holy shit, and then nothing works.
Right, right. So this is what the aliens were using in Independence Day when they sent that virus. That's why it was able to figure out what was going on. It was just like, all right, we'll just handle it anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. they had this because they had advanced technology, right?
Right.
So they had this running, and the string comes in the JSON packet or whatever it was, probably XML at that time. The XML packet comes in because
right.
They were all right.
It was little Bobby tables.
Right, and so it comes in, and it's like reading through, hey, this is an acceptable format, execute it, and so it does, and then little Bobby Tables comes in and knocks over their lemonade stand, and the whole thing just kind of
ended. The fat lady sings.
Right, it's done.
I'm so bad.
But then at some point there's a T-Rex and, like, Chaos Theory. Or am I thinking of a different movie?
No, that's all. It's all the same. Just so you know, though, you look at her, she looks right back at you, and that's when the attack comes, not from the front. But from the sides.
Clever girl.
And the other two raptors, you didn't even know were there.
Clever girl.
Can we do entire show just with movie quotes?
Probably. Let's talk about Valdekar's OJS library. It's O. Let me see your O face. This is O, which is a JS library for object manipulation. So what does that mean? Basically, this means that you get these little JavaScript objects, and then you can just manipulate the objects instead of having to fuck around with their properties and stuff like that. So you can add members to an object, you can remove members from an object, you can get the keys of an object, the values of an object, the length of an object, blah, 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 right?
Right.
Basically, what this means is that JavaScript now works like an actual object-oriented language instead of a prototypical object-oriented language. So, yeah.
I don't want to be a member of any object that'll have me.
You're going to go all the way back to the Marx Brothers? We can do a show about movie quotes. Fine with that. All right, let's go to the next one here.
The real show.
This is the real one. Slipsum. Sounding L ipsum. Motherfucking placeholder text, motherfucker.
Create it, bitch. Or generate it.
Yeah, this is going to be like, man.
I don't think you're going to use this on your client's projects.
No. You're going to use this on your weekend hack projects. So I don't even have to explain what the hell this thing is,
no.
Right? It's lorem ipsum generator that uses quotes from Samuel L. Jackson. Like, right now I just got it, and I get, now that we know who you are, I know who I am. I'm not a mistake. It all makes sense. In a comic, you know how you can tell who the arch-villain's gonna be? He's the exact opposite of the hero. And most times, they're friends, like you and me. I should have known way back when. You know why, David? Because of the kids. They called me Mr. Glass.
Almost.
That was, like, the worst fucking movie that he was ever in.
That was a pretty decent movie.
It was okay.
I enjoyed it. But I'm getting almost all Pulp Fiction stuff.
Are you?
Normally, both your S's would be dead as fried, freaking fried chicken. But you happen to pull this shit when I'm on a transitional period. So I don't want to kill you, but I'm going to help you. But I can't give you this case. It don't belong to me. Besides, I've already been through too much shit this morning all over this case to hand it over to your dumbass.
Well, the way they make shows is they make one show. That show's called a pilot. Then they show that show to the people who make shows. And on the strength of that one show, they decide if they're going to make more shows. Some pilots get picked and become television programs. Some don't, become nothing. She starred in one of the ones that became nothing.
I love that this was created by Paul Maloney.
If only it was created by Paul Irish.
Just Paul Maloney, that's a great name.
It is. Paul Maloney sounds like a character from
Pulp Fiction or something.
From Pulp Fiction, yeah. So anyway, slips them. Looks pretty cool. Looks like a way to make your lorem ipsum at least a little bit more entertaining.
And it's actually more handy than some of the other ipsum creators, because it like will allow you to say whether or not you want header tags or P tags, that type of thing.
Yeah, you can put in header tags, P tags, but one of the reasons I think this is really useful is because since they're using dialogue from movies, they're using real words.
Which is the opposite of the point of using ipsum, but...
Well, you use the fake lorem ipsum so that you're not tempted to read it.
Right.
But fake lorem ipsum with quite often longer than average word lengths means that if you're designing it to hold like a certain word length, your designs
you need to turn, can end up being wrong. CSS hyphenation.
Hyphenation?
Hyphenation. You know, the dude with the giant clock just comes out, starts dancing. What's his name? Flavor Flav.
No.
No? It's getting hype.
No. Let's go on. Let's talk about Batman JS.
Word.
So Batman JS is a full stack micro framework extracted from real use and designed to maximize developer and designer happiness.
Oh, yay.
Convention over configuration, templateless views, and high performance by simply not doing very much.
Apparently it's from Shopify.
It all adds up to blazingly fast web apps with a great development process. It's Batman.js. So, yeah. It's an MVC-style framework for JavaScript.
I like that their example is a to-do list that Alfred has made for Batman.
Well, what else would your example be?
A blog in 5 minutes where you get to say oops a lot.
Well, but you have to have a Danish guy for that.
Bane wants to meet, not worried.
Let's go on.
Joker escaped Arkham again.
Let's talk about this next one here. This next one is Transform JS.
I missed this one. What's this?
These are 2D and 3D transforms as regular CSS properties. You can set using .css and animate using .animate.
Whoa, it does not work correctly in Chrome, whatever this old version of Chrome I'm using.
No? All right. Well, anyway, it's already being used on Metalabs' website, so you know it works. And basically, it's just you take your jQuery animate that you're used to using, and then now you can use the CSS3 2D and 3D transform attributes inside there. So that's good. Yeah. So it gives you more support. 3D support... okay, wait a minute.
Can we just make a site that like is super, super detailed, lists the support of all browsers, and we just call it Bra? Or like Bezier.
Wonder Bra. That should be the title of it. All right. So, maybe that should be the title of the show. Write that down.
Wonder Bra?
Yeah, write that down.
All right.
But then, like, misspell it or something.
Wonder Bro.
Yeah, Wonder Bro. So, the last one is from James Podolsky.
Podolsky?
Podolsky. And it's Sonic Looping Loaders. Sonic is a small About 3 kilobytes. Minify JavaScript class that you can use to create custom loading animations.
Damn it.
So, kind of like that one we talked about a couple weeks ago, spin.js. Only this one uses Canvas instead of just rotating.
Did you say go to meatspin.com?
I did not say go to meatspin.com. I'm not going to talk about meatspin.
You've set through 37 spins.
Did you? So, anyway, it draws a shape, which by default is a 6-pixel square. At tiny intervals along a predefined path, and so then you've got this like looping thing going on, and you've got this like spinny thing, right?
Yes.
That's all it does. It just spins.
It spins.
So if you need, if you're like, I can't have an image, for whatever reason, and you're like, I don't want to use SpinJS for whatever reason, then Sonic is your new choice. Sonic is your friend.
It's got some interesting stuff in there.
Yeah.
It's got one that kind of looks like Kit.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. It could be a lot worse. We're going to put it that way. We're going to say it could be a lot worse.
It could.
It's not Batman.
It's not Batman. Are we at the end of our links?
We are at the end of our links.
Dude, awesome 33-minute long show.
We're at the end of our links, and you know what that means?
What?
That means now it's time to say goodbye.
Oh, I thought it was Naked Sexy Time.
That's tomorrow.
Naked Sexy Time. Boom, ch, boom, boom, ch, boom. You don't see it, but my donkey's getting jiggy with it. He's already naked.
Is he?
Forest Podcast.
You can find all of us.
Pishposh.tv, son.
You can find all of us at where can they find us? You can find us at forestpodcast.com. Right? You can find us on Twitter as the username Forest Podcast.
Indeed.
And you can email us, podcast@forest.com. And should we announce Pishposh? Is it up now?
Oh, right, because there's people watching live. Damn it. I was just thinking that by the time this came up, it would be out. Well, it's actually up. Like, anybody who's watching it now can actually go to it on pishposh.tv.
It's just not super accurate and all the way completed.
Yeah. There's some placeholder text and, like, the play button's missing. But you can actually go play stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, so there you go. You can go to pishposh.tv. Posh, not piss.
No, pishposh.
P-I-S-H-P-O-S-H .tv and check us out there. That's Mike's new thing. So go try to break it.
That is my next and only.
This is one and only.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Later, guys.